I need you to do two things. I mentioned this in the earlier service when I introduced my son. I need you to do two things for me. As you can tell, I'm not going to stand still a lot. And I don't have ADHD, QD, ID, whatever I kind of see that, right? But I like to move because I like to see you. I like to look at you. And I'm going to testify to you.
Amen.
God turned it around.
Yes.
God turned it around. And he's going to turn around for you. So you can do two things. Say, amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was awful. Say, amen.
Amen.
Or say, help him, Lord.
Help.
Okay, now I don't want you to say that a lot, okay? To help me, Lord. Okay. But I do want you to say amen, because I want this to be interactive in the sense I grew up listening. Now, you can tell my age a little bit. How many remember Andre Crouch?
Sure.
Okay, some of you, all right. How many of you remember Shirley Caesar? Aha, now there's a few of you. Okay. How many know Kirk Franklin? Right? So I grew up in listening to a lot of non-Caucasian gospel music. Okay? So my heart is I absolutely love that style of music, and I also absolutely love that style of preaching. Okay? So it's important for me for you to respond. All right? Because I know this. I know this. He is faithful. That was not bad. Okay? So when we look at the idea of what faithfulness is or how it's defined, we look in the dictionary. The dictionary says faithfulness is remaining loyal or steadfast. Okay, that's pretty good, right? Do you know anybody in your life who's loyal and steadfast? One of the characteristics that I absolutely love in anybody is loyalty. The second one, however, is absolutely awesome. If you're taking notes, take this down. Faithfulness, true to the facts or, get ready, true to the facts or the original. So, therefore, God is truth. God is faithful because he is the author, the original, and the originator of truth. And that is the facts. Come on again. Come on, help me out. So let's go back to a little bit of theology to start with. God in three persons in the beginning. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. So Jesus, the Logos, is the term, the Word, before human time, in creation and incarnate, God the Father. Now this one's really, really important. It's all important in Scripture, but this one specifically because I want to twist it on you. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. I'm using the New Living Translation in case you're wondering. Surely you are still our Father. Surely you are still our Father. Even if Abraham and Jacob would disown us, you would still be our Father. You are our Redeemer from ages past. God is faithful.
Amen.
God is truth.
Amen.
God has existed and will ever exist in the ever-present I am. He existed before time, and God said, okay, time's going to start there, and by the way, he says it's going to end here, and he exists outside of it all. Yes. That is who he is. Oh, there's no way God can handle my situation. Want to bet? Not that I would bet. Okay? There's nothing, and I'm not making light of it. There is absolutely nothing that you have either gone through, are going through, or will go through that God can't handle. That's right. There is all that exists that will ever exist. I went and put it in place. Including, by the way, you. Yes. The Holy Spirit at the beginning of time. God is not defined by time. He's the author of time. And it exists by his word and by his power. Genesis chapter 1, right at the very beginning. And perhaps, because I know I've been pastoring and been in ministry 38 years now, but perhaps you never thought of this. Perhaps your idea of the Holy Spirit is when it happened on the day of Pentecost. Well, let me correct. It wasn't it that happened. The Holy Spirit, the person, right, came at the day of Pentecost, and we'll talk more about that Tuesday night. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and it says, in the beginning, so when God said, here's the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. Here it is, again, in case you think it just started in Acts. And the, help me, Spirit of God. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Lost a little weight. My pants are too big. Okay. The Spirit of God. Friends, the Holy Spirit was not created. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't die on me now. It just makes me preach longer. You don't want that. Okay. Wait a second. But the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is part of the triune Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we can see it right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. That's so cool. You know what hovering means? Have you ever seen a hovercraft? It's one of those vehicles that can hover over water. Right? Just kind of sits over. Now, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, is hovering. Remember, everything else is dark, formless. And the Holy Spirit is hovering. God breathed into man the breath of God. The Ruach. I like saying that word, Ruach, R-U-A-C-H. But do you know what that means? The life-giving breath of God. No, I thought I'd get a bigger amen there. The life-giving breath of Almighty God. He didn't do it to an elephant. He didn't do it to a lion. I love lions. They're my favorite animal. Power, I love it. King of beasts, right? He did it to you and me. He breathed into man the living breath of God. Now, if you look down, verse 26, same chapter, Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you got to really deal with that verse. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Whoa. Nothing else in all of creation has that designation. They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, birds of the sky, sorry, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. They will rule. I checked. I don't have a monkey's uncle. I'll let that roll around for a second. Now, there may have been some monkeying around in my family tree, but I don't come from an ape. I don't. I come from the mighty, all-powerful Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who breathed into man the breath of life. That's where I come from. Amen. Charles Darwin is dead and gone. Jesus is still alive. God is still moving by his Spirit. And he's turning it around and has turned it around. Every single one of us has to understand Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed. He breathed into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Do you know that a person, a living person, now again, this is simple theology here, a living person is an image bearer, is the one that God said, this is what I'm like? Now, hold up now. He didn't say you're going to be a little one. You're not a little God. No, you're not. You are made in the image and likeness of God and have to come into relationship with God. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Job, flip over in your Bible. And the reason I'm going to use Job, because most scholars suggest Job was the first book written. Okay? Now, we have them in the order we have them, based on the King James Bible. But the first one, most people suggest, the first book written was Job, which is an incredible book. Job chapter 33, verse 4. Again, I'm using the NLT. For the Spirit of God has made me. You are indeed a masterpiece. I don't care what social media tells you. Listen, I do online ministry. That's what I do. I don't care what it tells you. My Bible tells me that you're a masterpiece made in the image and likeness of God. Do you believe that? If you are between the ages, and my son would probably verify this, but if you're between the ages of, say, 12, 13, and up to about 24, 25, 26 years old, many times, and I'm speaking specifically to the ladies, but it is in many young men now too, you look, I'm going to be very careful, Pastor Ken, to be dignified. You look at garbage on social media of some either AI image or some image that somebody created that has been spent $150,000 making the poster and say, I could never be like that. Good. Good. You weren't made to be like that. You were made in the image and likeness of God, and he knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. We have a granddaughter. Her name is Henley. Henley was born without without an esophagus. She has a condition called esophageal atresia and tracheomalacia. Thank you for that. All right. But so her esophagus, there was an issue. She was literally having surgery the day after she was born. And my daughter, Hannah, our daughter, I never introduced my wife. There's my wife. That's my wife, Marcy, over there. Okay. But my daughter got a song. And the song is called Nothing Is Missing. There is absolutely nothing missing in my granddaughter. You said she's got esophageal atresia and she's got tracheomalacia. Uh-huh. You may be here this morning and you have a Down syndrome child. You may be here and you have some other condition yourself, whatever it may be. My Bible tells me that this mortal will put on immortality. Come on. Which means that my body does not contain a soul. My soul contains a body. And so as I've gotten in my 60s, I'm 61 years old. As I've gotten into my 60s, Pastor Ken can testify with me, right? Some of the things that I used to do, I can't do no more. I mean, I used to be able to sprint. Well, that's a bold-faced lie. Okay? But I mean, I used to be able to do certain things. My body is deteriorating. But I know some saints who are in their 90s that they are praising God and worshiping God, and they're just getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to leave this world. That's exactly what they're doing. Because friends, this is not it. And God breathed into you the very life-giving breath of God. Psalm 138, verse 2. I bow down toward your holy temple. That's what I feel like this morning. I was losing over there. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. I watched some of Pastor Ken's message last week. Awesome. About the power of thanks. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, which is who he is. For you have exalted above all things. Now catch this here. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. There are two portions of Scripture. They're not in our list here. Two portions of Scripture. One says that every knee should bow down, every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. Then there's another verse that says every knee will bow down. So what's the difference? Why is it written like that? Because every knee will bow down. But it is your choice and my choice whether we will accept God now and come into that relationship now and be restored now. Every promise, every single promise that God makes, he keeps. You say, but I prayed for this and that didn't happen. Can I be kind? You and probably me many times, I'll speak for myself. We don't know the end from the beginning. The Bible says God's ways are not our ways. In fact, I love what it says. They're high above ours. My daddy was an awesome guy. Absolutely awesome. I love my father deeply. I watched him. I wanted to be like him. But my daddy wasn't perfect. My God is.
Yes.
My God never fails. He can't fail. I want to look at Adam for just a few minutes. We know that God created Adam, then Eve, and he placed them in absolute perfection. And he gave them one thing. I don't know if you're a parent, you ever give your kids one thing to do, and that's the thing they did. Right? Not to do, I should say, and that's the thing they did. God knows the feeling. Okay? So he placed them into the garden, into this perfection. And Adam chose. By the way, it says Adam. Read the New Testament. Eve was deceived. Adam chose, right? Now don't go too far with that. But Adam chose willingly to sin against God. And through that sin, death entered into the human race. Listen to me very, very, very carefully. That sin, your sin, my sin, separates us from God. Now stay with me, because we're going to go deep into the theological pool. So if that is the case, that my sin separates me from God, Adam's sin and my sin, again, if you're taking notes, did not, and it is a misnomer, it's wrong theologically to say otherwise, Adam's sin and our sin did not and does not separate God from his love, his faithfulness, his justice, his mercy. It can't happen, because that's who God is. That cannot change. I am the Lord, I change. So our actions, and again, stay with me. This is deep here. Our actions, be they good or bad, do not change the nature and the character of God. So if you think this, if you think God could never forgive me, I have done fill in the blank. God should accept me because I'm really good. Neither one. We are accepted into the beloved by the grace and mercy of Almighty God through Jesus and redemption. That's how we do that. But it's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. You see, because just as God is eternally faithful, he is eternally holy, just, true. To what? To his name and his word. To his name and his word. What he said is going to happen. What he said he will do, he will do. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who has never, can never, will never fail. And that, my friends, is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That is why we understand that both in the beginning of the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that really what sin is not about the rules and regulations, and stay with me. It is about missing the mark of God's holiness. That's exemplified in the law of the Old Testament, or the Old Testament covenant, where God established the rules. By the way, just in modern context, he didn't establish the options. He established the rules. When God said men and women, he meant men and women. He didn't mean a whole bunch of other ones. Boy, he got really quiet. Now, the rejection of the finished work of salvation accomplished by Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you reject that, that is what separates you from God. That. You say, well, Pastor, there's a verse in Romans that says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Well, duh. That's true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, from his perspective. But if we reject him and we reject his love, I could hold my son's hand much easier when he was younger than now. And I could hold it strong enough that he could not get out of it. But friends, when he got to be a little bigger, the ability to make his own decisions and choices, as much as I could hold him in my hand, he could take himself out of it. And unfortunately, sometimes we just want to make God to be this one who is all loving and never just. He is perfectly just. Perfectly just in his love, in his mercy, in his grace. They're all perfectly balanced because that's who he is. Romans chapter 3, 23. I'm sure a verse you're very familiar with. For everyone, no exceptions, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short, in the New Living Translation says, of his glorious standard. That's the holiness. In other words, our sin makes it impossible to attain that standard of holiness necessary to be in right relationship with God by our own efforts. We can't do it. But go down. Verse 24. Yet God. My dad used to say, yet, but, and therefore. Find out what they're there for in Scripture. Okay? Yet God, because he's faithful, because he's true, because he's just, because he's holy, because he's merciful, because he's forgiving. Freely. Oh, man. If you don't remember any word that I said all morning, remember the word freely. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. How? He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Romans 8, 1 to 4. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, and we're doing messages tonight, next 2 days after that, about the faithfulness of God to every single generation. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, so you've come into relationship. The same concept from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Friends, you have new life in Christ. When you come to God, he used to say, Pastor would know this. Years ago, they used to do a lot of talking about people that are good and bad and then try to relate it to Scripture. Friends, in Scripture, outside of God, we are dead in sin. Okay? We're not close. We're not bad. We're not good. We're dead. So this verse says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did, not me, not you, none of us. We can't get good enough, can't get there. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son. In a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. But I said he's just. He did this so that the just requirement of the law will be fully satisfied for us and no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Friends, follow the Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The life-giving breath of God in the beginning of that we see of human history remains. He remains the same faithful, unchanging Spirit that both raised Christ from the dead and when we come by faith to God in repentance, breathes into us that power, that life-giving Spirit that frees us from the power of sin that leads to death. So here's the choice then. Life or death? So I want to suggest to you. Let our response be the following to the Spirit. And I didn't know they were singing the song. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you. He will show you which path to take. Philippians 1, 6. And I am certain. I love the emphaticness of that. Not maybe. No. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Because the Holy Spirit is faithful from the beginning of human existence, and in fact, faithful even before human existence, because he exists before, more about that on Monday, he will be faithful to complete the good work in us. My son said in the first service, I didn't know he said it, I got the same thing written down. God, listen now. I'm going to free somebody up who's had a difficult time in their life. God doesn't begin a bad work, only a good work in you. Yes. When you come to Jesus, your past is what? Help me. What happens when you come to Jesus? Is your past still there?
No.
Your past is forgiven by the life-giving breath of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me also say this. There can be scars. And if you are old enough, you probably recognize that you've had a scar or two, and you probably, I hope, I know I've tried and I continue to try, to learn from them. You are absolutely 100% forgiven. Absolutely. Because God is faithful. And friends, if you've got a scar, I want you to think of this. What kind of testimony are you going to use it with? You say, how do I use a testimony of my scars? Oh, my friend, you've got a scar, you've got a testimony. You have got a testimony. Yes. And friends, all of us who've come in right relationship with God have that testimony. So the choice is whether we want to come alive in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, or reject it. As I mentioned, we'll be here tonight. Pastor Gordy's going to speak on autopilot. The way he told you about that. Monday night, I'm going to speak on the fact that the Holy Spirit is eternally on time every time. And then on Tuesday night at 7, we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God to, in, and for every single generation. Yeah. I wouldn't do this to the music team, but there's another song that I absolutely love. As you can tell, I love a lot of songs. Okay, I love the song "Same God." You are my father's God. You are my God. You'll be my granddaughter's God. Because that's who he is. Yes. That's who he is. Another one that I love is, you are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I can never be more glad. Because I put my faith in Jesus. What? Come on, somebody's with me. You'll never let me down. Faith. What? Faithful. Faithful in every generation. That's who he is. I want you to join us every single time you can, if you can at all. And by the way, bring your kids. I love kids. So I'm going to invite Pastor Ken and David and Marco to come back up and join me. Come right on up, Pastor Ken. And let me make this declaration to you. I absolutely, 100% assure you, on the authority of many of the references of Scripture that we use today, and I could have given you for another hour, another group of them, that the Holy Spirit desires, can, and will meet, has met for many of us, still the same, whatever need you have today. The first one is to come into right relationship with Him today. You see, you may be here this morning. You've never been in Pentecostal church in your life, and you're wondering why this guy's yelling at you. I get a little excited. Yeah, 50 some odd times, I sang for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I did their anthems, the American and Canadian national anthems. And when I did that, they would crescendo, of course, when you get towards the end. And the one time I did it, I was singing on a Tuesday night, and the Canadian hockey team, men's team, had won the gold medal on the Sunday in the Olympics in Vancouver, and they asked me to sing that Tuesday. And as I was getting through, because again, I had done it many times before, and as they were getting towards the end, all of a sudden, it got louder than I had ever heard in my life. And I'm like, there's no ears or anything. It's just you. And then I pop my head up like this, and they're showing Sidney Crosby score the winning goal. And the place went crazy. If I can't talk about the God who changed my life more than that, there's a problem. My worship to God is, and I love Sid. Right? There's somebody in the first service had a Hamilton Tiger Cat shirt on. I love them too. They're out of the playoffs, it's sad. But, friends, he is so worthy of our praise because he's turned it around, because he saved me, because he set me free. And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced that, this can be your moment right now. And listen, that ain't going to be like a gold medal. That's going to be an eternal situation, an eternal destiny. You will spend the rest of your life, eternal life, with God because of his grace, because of his mercy. If that's you, we're going to ask you to come in just a moment. If you've got some other needs, we're going to ask you to come. Whatever, and I know there's a prayer team that's going to help us out. Whatever those are, friends, God turned it around. And God can turn around whatever situation you have. Pastor Kim.